Hi, good afternoon. If you just joined the line, hopefully you can hear me okay. We're just waiting for a few others to join the line, then we'll be starting promptly at 3 p.m. Hello, good afternoon to you all. If you just joined, we'll be starting in the next minute or so. Just some notes on the housekeeping before we begin. You'll be automatically muted upon entry. Hopefully you've connected via audio on your PC, but alternatively you can do so via your mobile device or you can dial in via phone. If you have any difficulties connecting, please contact my colleague Laura via insight@londonsport.org. If you have any questions during the session, you can either submit them during the chat page or you can email us via the insight@londonsport.org email. Great, so let's begin. So my name's Dan. I joined Tim and the rest of the Insight team last summer, and I'm a mixed methods researcher with approximately 15 years of research experience. I've been working with the independent research agency 2CV to develop the less active London segments, which I'm going to be sharing today. I'm also joined by my colleague Laura. She's one of our Insight officers who will be gathering any questions that you may have during the session. If we have any time at the end, we may run through some answers, but we've got a lot of content to share today, so we may have to get back during our next session. Today's webinar is going to last approximately 30 minutes, and this is part one of a two-part series. So today's all about the segment profiles, introducing you to those. Next week, I'm going to be taking you from some of the key segment opportunities. Both of these sessions are going to be recorded, and this enables the ability for you to share with further colleagues that might be interested in our research. And you'll have a link at the end to gain access to the materials, including the recordings, via the Insight portal. Next, I'm going to share a little bit of background about our methodology, some of the preliminary research before the current piece of research I'm going to be sharing. And then I'll move swiftly on to reveal the segment profiles. Afterwards, I'm going to tell you a little bit about developments at London Sport, including some of the opportunities for further activation work linked to the segmentation project. Great, so let's begin. Hopefully not news to anybody on the line, but we're an active partnership with the overarching mission and goal to help London become the most active city in the world. Combining sports England active lives data and census data, we've determined that there's approximately 2.6 million less active Londoners here in the capital. We recognise that the population is large but also very diverse. And on this basis, we've commissioned this market research segmentation study to develop an impression of who's out there. It's a major piece of research for our organisation, And here we're solely focusing on less active Londoners. That is, people that are doing less than the World Health Organization guidelines of 150 minutes of physical activity per week. And in the more extreme cases, less than 30 minutes per week. So our vision is for the segmentation to become a practical framework for London Sport and our partners, is to enrich our understanding of less active London to help us all connect and target our efforts more effectively. As you'll see shortly, we've adopted a broader lens perspective to combine both qualitative and quantitative research to reveal a richer picture of lives and lifestyles. And there's steps beyond the world of physical activity and sport, something that we feel is particularly crucial. This is to bridge the empathy gap that can sometimes occur when it comes to evangelizing the benefits of activity. We feel it's really important to refresh our thinking and enhance these opportunities to connect, target, and tailor interventions and communications for greater relevance and for greater impact. So our learning journey started all the way back in late 2016 when we commissioned some initial qualitative research working with a company called the Behavioural Architects. So this qualitative research involved a series of stakeholder interviews with colleagues at London Sport and with other organisations interested to promote physical activity to identify four core inactive groups. So there were a series of online hangouts, face-to-face interviews and in-context home immersions that formed the basis of this research. As part of the methodology also, we deployed mission-based tasks and diary-based exercises and experiments to explore potential to shift bad habits and behaviours. This is all founded on the basis of behavioural change theory, heuristics and principles. As a result of this research, we developed pen portraits and show reels to bring the groups to life, and we held an internal London Sport workshop to review opportunities for further outreach. More recently, we worked with 2CV to build upon this core understanding, to interrogate our segment view, and our aim here is really to validate some of our earlier hypotheses and enrich our understanding further still. There are also several key aims for this research, a desire for the segments to become more distinct from each other, to determine the attitudes, motivations, and emotional drivers amongst the less active segments, and further still, for the segments to be targetable to aid further strategic planning. So on this basis, we commissioned the current project to step beyond demographic measures to surface mindsets, attitudes, and behaviours. And this is something really critical to emphasise about this research. So survey-based methodology, we engaged a sample of 2,000 less active Londoners, aged 16 plus. The levels of activity were deduced using simplified active live measures. And in addition, we gathered information about segment habits and lifestyles, including their media consumption, local community engagement, and applications of technology to support our targeting efforts on the basis of the data that we gained. So that's enough about the methodology, at least for today. You can find out further information in the Insight Portal slides. So without any further ado, let's introduce you to our seven less active segments. So there are seven segments in total covering the London adult-based population. We've got roughly equal levels of distribution, varying from approximately 12% to 19%. And as you see later on, varying levels of capability, opportunity, and motivation. This ranges from the highly resistant elderly evaders, our most disengaged group, all the way through to our almost actives, who are people on the verge of getting active. You'll probably be most surprised and alarmed to hear that they were classified as being less active. Before we walk through the first segment, before I share further information about our first segment, the elderly evaders, let me just introduce the format of the slides, the metrics, and what's going on behind the scenes here. In the top right-hand corner, you'll see any skews that feature any demographic skews. So this could be in relation to age, the presence of children in the household, what stage people are at in terms of their working life, and other aspects such as their income and social grade. We also have some of the key comments, so in their own words, what it would take to get these individuals more active. In the bottom left, we have the emotional engagement with physical activity. And on the bottom right, we have a DAL, perceived healthiness, which is a combination of several different measures. So this includes satisfaction with life, overall happiness, anxiety based on how people were feeling yesterday. All of these are self-reported measures. Things in life that just should be worthwhile, their eating habits, their body weight, the extent to which they're currently exercising and keeping fit, alcohol and cigarette consumption, and quality of sleep. So there's a quite comprehensive range of measures that determine this. So elderly evaders, quite frankly, they are disengaged, they are not interested, they're not excited about the opportunity to get more active. This is not coming necessarily from a negative place when we look at the emotional drivers. These are people that are very much appreciate the value of being active, they just simply don't have the desire to become more active. Perhaps there's a feeling that they've earned this right to kick back, to relax, and to enjoy doing other things in life. Certainly exercise is not something that we consider that they would consider when it comes to quality of life. They're people that don't want to be watching the calories. You could ask them to go for a run. They're simply not going to be interested in going out and doing that. So they're enjoying life. It's likely that if they have children, they've moved out of the household. Approximately 40% or above are retirees, and they're having a lovely time. It's all about extending the time in life, doing the things that they love. Some are perhaps annoyed or repulsed about the prospect of doing exercise, but these are very low percentages that are simply uninterested in taking part. So when it comes to the top barriers, we see this reflected further still. So 94%, the vast majority, would rather spend their free time doing things that they really enjoy. If you told them to do more exercise, it's unlikely that they would be doing so unless they were to hear this information from a healthcare professional. You'll see in the top right the amount of time that's being spent being active, and it's reflected that you can see that a large proportion are engaged less than 30 minutes, so they're chronically least active. So if they are doing things, they're more likely to be walking, swimming, dance classes, but they're very low percentages. So that's our elderly evaders in terms of where they are, in terms of the process, the journey towards getting more active. You can see that they fall right into the far left-hand side. They're simply not interested in becoming more active. On to our anxious avoiders. So this is a group that are probably most consistent with our initial work undertaken, our qualitative research. Now we have so much more understanding of the incredible amount of emotional baggage, the lifestyle challenges that this group has. They understand that they should be doing more exercise, but they simply lack the motivation. In the qualitative research, we determined through our interviewing that some people felt like they were trying to climb a tall mountain, you know, with a tiny, tiny pickaxe. That was one of the quotes particularly resonated. Life has dealt this group a bad hand. They may have financial difficulties. If they're receiving support, it's potentially the wrong form of support. They associate very negative words with being active and how it makes them feel. So the prospect of exercise can make these people feel uneasy, embarrassed, disturbed, humiliated. It's one of our most unhealthy segments. There are large volumes of disability present within this group. And these people that may be suffering from chronic pain, fatigue, respiratory illnesses, and may have mental health issues. So perhaps no surprise, these people that don't feel good about exercise, perhaps they lack self-esteem, they also lack the skills and the feeling of capability. They simply don't know where to start, where to turn to for information, advice, where to go. For them, it's like to be off the radar completely. They're having a hard life. Approximately 75% of these individuals, they exist on the points on the far left in terms of the behavioural journey, but the most represented in the point not interested in becoming more active because of how they feel about themselves. If they are displaying any commitment, it's a fleeting commitment. Something to be conscious of, a poorly placed ad could drive down engagement. If they are doing anything at present, it's likely that they're doing exercise on their own, potentially in their own household environment. Next, let's move on to our want to but can't. They're one of our older segments. So over half are retired or unemployed, and a huge 68% claim to have some form of mental or physical health condition that they are battling with. These are often mobility related, but there are some that have experience of longer term illnesses or dexterity issues. So their lifestyles aren't the healthiest. They smoke, they don't sleep particularly well. They perceive their weight to not be especially great, potentially due to capability linked issues. And they're doing very little to no exercise overall. despite all of this, their emotional relationship hints that, yeah, despite this negativity, there's some desire to become more active. These people that are really frustrated with their lack of capability. So as you'll see in the top barriers, people mentioned that perhaps they can't run or play sports like they used to. They can't move around like they used to when they were younger. There's some recognition that perhaps they're not the person that they used to be. To some extent, perhaps this reflects some learned helplessness. Others might be making more attempts to get back into fitness. And as we can see in terms of the amount of time spent being active, just over half are doing less than 30 minutes. So again, one of our least active groups overall. Moving on to our young impressionables. Most of these second representatives are going to be students. And these are people that are suddenly learning to look after themselves in life. They suddenly need to adult in this world. And they're very much attempting and mastering these skills. It could be learning how to cook, buying groceries for the first time, taking the responsibility to pay for bills. They may have a part-time job or several different part-time jobs. Or they may be interested in finding a partner, and fitness could be less of a priority for these individuals. Social media is having a massive impact on this group, and these are individuals that are growing up in a time where people have never been more aware of their bodies, and never experienced such pressure to look and feel good, and talk about doing so in the public eye. Now, these are individuals that are perhaps claiming to be overweight, but in reality, we don't know whether or not that's the case. It's just something that comes through in the verbatim responses. There are lots of Instagram users. We know that this can have a negative impact on people's self-esteem, because it's very easy, of course, nowadays to manipulate photos. So perhaps this explains why this particular group are feeling so intimidated, embarrassed, judged, and shy when it comes to their attempts to get active and engage in physical activity. That being said, we do feel that there's value in sort of helping this group to connect with others like themselves, and helping to find their tribe. So there's absolutely a component of engaging this group that's very much, there's an opportunity, I should say, when it comes to their engagement with social media that could be key to supporting their efforts. So when it comes to their key barriers, this is very much about embarrassment. Potentially an element of proofing might be required to encourage efforts. They need others around them to exercise. These are individuals that have grown up with technology. They're used to doing things with other people watching. It's quite normal for them to be taking photos, sharing their support online. Finding their tribe is really important, other people like them. They can only find classes, socialize with others that come similar, but we're really well for this particular audience. So that's our young impressionables. Moving on, we have our type 4 integrators. This is our busy segment. Could be busy mums, could be busy dads, lots of hours juggling the various responsibilities that come with being a parent and a worker in London. Fairly hectic work-life balance. Then, although we have a skew for sort of higher, better off income groups, we wouldn't say they're particularly well off. They're doing okay financially. If they do have any money left over at the end of the month after paying for their bills, typically goes on the kids. So it's a busy segment. They know that they should be doing more, they just don't know how to do it, and more importantly, how to fit it into their lives as they stand. If you ask them to do more, it's unlikely that you're going to have very much impact in this group. So the question becomes, how do we piggyback onto existing activities and get them to perhaps engage more intensively or reduce barriers around opportunities? So if we look at the barriers, we see that struggle reflected to fit in proper exercise alongside work and family. If they are exercising, typically it's walking, running, or home fitness. They actually have quite a positive level of engagement with physical exercise. So activity makes them feel motivated, energized, excited. And their perceived healthiness is reasonable. It's just a question of how and when to fit this in. So you know, mums and dads with young kids from 0 to 4 years, that first few years, it's all consuming. And they need to pace me time back on the priority to look after themselves. When it comes to inconsistently involved, they share a lot of similar characteristics with the time for integrators. Now, these are individuals that can be in the peak or the trough of their efforts to get more active. So sometimes there's a seasonal component to these efforts, but they may have unsustainable bursts where they perhaps might be hitting the gym quite intensively and their efforts might drop out. So this includes yo-yo dieters, for instance, as well. Now, these are also individuals that are a lot more likely to have children at home, more of an average income overall. They share a lot of traits with the time poor integrators and the almost actives, as we'll see. But they tend to be much more likely to trot out excuses when it comes to cases explaining why they're less active. So they're quite relaxed about themselves, their lives as they stand. They don't have any emotional baggage. They're fairly motivated, in fact, when it comes to explaining the potential role that exercise might play in their lives. It's simply that they're not doing it. They're also more likely to be drinkers. So they're more engaged with London life in general. And this typically revolves around social activities. So when it comes to the key barriers, they will claim that they don't know how to become more active and that there aren't suitable facilities, so a potential role for increasing awareness of what's available or looking at sort of how efforts might roll out over the year and encourage more sustained commitment. As you can see, in terms of current behaviours, there are various different stages of getting more active that reflects that they can be in this all or nothing phase of engagement. Moving on, our last segment. So like the inconsistently involved group, this is a segment that will probably be quite surprised to hear that they were labelled less active. So these are people that feel that they're making time, they're making effort, they're prioritising their efforts to keep fit, to hit the gym. It's just simply that they're not doing enough or that the efforts that they're making are not intensive enough to register as being active minutes. So they're doing stuff potentially even on a daily basis. Perhaps sort of if there were closer opportunities, they'd be doing more. But they fail to realise that they're not doing as much as they could potentially be doing. Overall, they have positive outlook on life, positive reflections when it comes to the role of exercise in their lives and lifestyles. They're motivated, they're energised, they're excited about opportunities. They perceive their own personal health to be quite positive. So when we look at the barriers, they're in fact not barriers at all. They will talk about how they do have the opportunity to be more active, how they find exercise pleasurable, how they're motivated to be active. They're also quite likely to be stating that they are motivated by the prospect of small victories when it comes to sport. So they may have had some positive engagement with sport in the past or positive experience at school. So if they are exercising at present, it's likely to be hitting the gym, it's likely to be running, jogging, or fitness classes. Absolutely. It won't take much more effort for them to become classified as active. It's just a case of nudging and encouraging those good efforts, and potentially sort of re-educating them in terms of what efforts they are making that might count as intensive minutes. So you've seen the segments. We now have a summary slide that labels the segments in terms of their current levels of activity out of 10. We can see that the anxious avoiders rank from the far left all the way up to almost actives. In terms of desire to be more active, we can see that there are two standout groups, the anxious avoiders and elderly evaders, that perhaps most disengaged. We have the emotions that are associated with activity, as we saw some of the less active groups have an otherwise positive level of engagement with exercise and potentially more receptive to messaging and potentially easier to nudge. So there's an acknowledgement that's quite crucial to this to state that it's going to take more effort and investment changing the behaviours of the elderly evaders and the anxious avoiders even in comparison to the wants and the can'ts, where they have some level of expressed desire to be exercising more. In particular, if there are more tailored opportunities to take part and engage with other people that like them. So, in sum, the most discriminating factors remain consistent with the initial qualitative research findings. So we talk about capability, the feeling that people can actually engage in exercise. We have to factor in current health or even sort of levels of disability. There's opportunity-related factors, so the feeling that people can actually take part. The feeling that the people actually have the time to do so, or that they have the options available for them to take part in exercise. And then we have motivation that runs through the current groups. So for some, this could be the feeling that they just don't feel good about themselves, that they don't have the oomph to do something about becoming more active. But on this basis, taking all of these things into consideration, we need to consider the varying levels of motivation, capability, and opportunity, which can be perceived or otherwise. So we hope that you found all of this useful and inspiring so far. As mentioned at the start, our ambition is for the segmentation to become not only a framework for understanding, but also a practical resource. The webinar recordings and profiles and next week's slides highlighting the opportunity areas are all going to be available via the Insight portal. Today's presentation is already available via the portal. Should you be interested to identify the segments and apply our learnings, we also have a set of golden segment identifier questions also available. So if, for instance, you're a local authority looking to apply our research, and you're looking to undertake research in a specific ward of interest to determine the different segments that exist in your ward and better target your efforts, you can take up all those questions and apply them in your own research. And then finally, just to mention some of our recent work in terms of activating upon these insights. So we've had this research available for several months since spring. In fact, we've been discussing the results internally, applying them to develop our own company strategy. We've also been gathering intelligence on what works in terms of engaging the different segments. We have a steering group that consists of representatives from 12 local authorities, including local delivery pilot boroughs Hackney and Southall. And we've been running some internal and external workshops to enrich our perspective in the segments and gather intelligence on what works on this basis. Another important aspect to mention is that we have an in-house mapping tool, which enables the team at London Sport the ability to determine segments at an overall borough level. And here we've combined our data with census data and Active Places Power data together with a range of other sources. Using advanced modelling, we've been able to drill down further by different demographics, so we can take a much more detailed view if we have a particular campaign that we're considering to apply these different data points to determine where our interventions might have the most effect. So we're very thrilled to be applying this insight already to our walking pilot program. Last but by no means least, we have a very diverse partner network. We understand that your needs are going to vary, but if you see potential to apply the golden questions to review a specific program or portfolio of interventions, or even to work directly with some of the less active Londoners to shape program materials using structured collaboration co-creation, we have expertise in all of those areas in-house and via our associate network. We'll be very glad to discuss opportunities for further support. So do reach out to insight@londonsport.org or also, if applicable, via your relationship manager to discuss further opportunities. So we hope that you found that useful and inspiring. Do stay tuned for part two, taking place next week, 19th of June, 3 p.m, where I'll be moving on to discuss the segment engagement opportunities. And as I say, all of these materials will be available from 21st of June via the Insight portal. And that's it from me. Thank you for listening.